It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder. Embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey!
What's up, baby?
Hi, Sean. Hey.
Long time no see.
I know. Sean and I just listened really quickly to an extremely popular podcast, but we didn't have the patience to listen to the whole hour and a half. Baby, nope. Keep your tongue in your mouth, boo. Keep your tongue in your mouth. Oh, Sorry, man.
What? Nobody's watching yet. Right.
We're trying to be respectable. D saw your tongue.
D's here. D.
Yeah.
Carrie wants to thank you for the card, but I want to know how come I didn't get a shout out. I'm not as awesome as you and my baby.
We just got the mail, and for those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, D sent me an amazing and adorable card that made me cry. I cried a lot in the last hour because people were so cool, including D. So thank you, D. Sean's just laughing. Anyways, we were listening to this other podcast, right? And they were saying the F-bomb all over the place. And they didn't get to the point of their podcast for like a third of the way in. And then I felt better about our podcast, honestly. But I would like you, Sean, to keep your tongue in your mouth. In your mouth, baby.
I'll try, baby.
No. He's on. And D says she's going to send you a unicorn card too, Sean K.
That's cool.
So you have like nothing unicorns to complain about anymore.
He has a unicorn apron. Thanks.
Sorry.
You're stealing my thunder.
I got excited.
I do. I have a unicorn cooking apron.
And we also have unicorn. What? Come on, baby.
I don't know. What?
What does the hand do? What does the hand do when it has to do with cooking? What does it go into?
Oh, oven mitt. Yeah.
I married him because he's cute. All right, so.
Well, luckily my hands fit in them.
Anyway, so it made me feel better. It made me feel better about our podcast, honestly.
What did? That other podcast?
That's super, super popular. And it's just like two ladies talking about mysteries and putting out the
F-bomb. They cuss a lot and you won't let me cuss.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't know if we're allowed to cuss on Facebook is the problem. I think we're not. Now what are you doing with your teeth for those of us who are watching you?
I'm making my aggravated because I can't cuss face.
Oh, my word. You're 5 years old, Shawnee. All right. Sean's going to try to behave. And we're going to talk.
Can you hear that kid yelling?
Is that a kid or a cat?
No, it's that kid across the way. I got to close my door.
All right. So while Sean closes his door, which made a very loud noise, I must say, we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about, which this week is the strange and adorable things that people say, idioms or cliches or sayings.
Or phrases.
Yeah, and before we do that, I want to thank you all for listening because it wouldn't be as much fun without you, especially you, D. Especially you, since I think you're the only one here.
So far.
Yay, D!
Thank you. Thank you.
D Harris gets, like, I don't know, some sort of massive award for A, making me cry today, and being the only one here. So
I'll have to send her something back now for being such a loyal listener.
I've been thinking about that.
When we get some merch, we'll send you the first piece free.
We will, but I'll send you something before that because God knows when we'll get merch.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, so.
But wait. What? One more thing about the. We didn't know where you lived, but we've been there a number of times when our daughter was in the military. I won't say anything about that. That way your location remains anonymous.
Yeah, but we were like, what? And I got
And
I was like, did I know this? And then I got all frazzled and flustered. And
all right, what were you saying, baby?
Okay, so now back on track without the F-bombs. Thank you all so much for listening. It wouldn't be as fun without you, especially you, dude. And we're talking about the strange, adorable things people say. But before we get into that, this is related. There was this article all about the family is creating their own like familect, like a dialect, but for families. And it's a dialect just for them. And it's sort of like this bunch of inside jokes and words that co-opt new meanings, or new meanings co-opt those words. And it's meant to show how like there's this connectedness and community in a family. And there's this huge article in The Atlantic by Catherine Harris, I think. And in it, she quotes a linguist and Georgetown professor, Cynthia Gordon. And here's the direct quote. Are you ready? Are you ready for my direct quote?
I am.
Okay. Hopefully Dee is too. Any group of people.
Mel's here too, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yay. He said there's five people live.
Whoa, five live people plus us.
Does that include us?
I don't know. I don't think so. All right, so ready? Familects, yeah. Right? Wicked cool. And this linguist lady who teaches at Georgetown, Cynthia Gordon, said, any group of people that has extended contact over time and sees itself as distinctive is going to have some specialized use of language. And listening to recordings of other families is like being immersed in a totally different world. I was like, that's so cool. And it's like kind of interesting to wonder if that's true about communities too and regions. Like by listening to the unique sayings of New Hampshire, do you get to understand New Hampshire a little bit better? Kind of deal.
I think it's true because as far as I can remember, we never had a dooryard down in Florida.
Oh.
For instance, we never had a dooryard.
And a dooryard to what, Boo?
For the anywhere, and anywhere directly in front of your house in Maine, mainly where you park your vehicles and throw your junk.
Yeah, so we don't call it a front yard here. We call it a dooryard.
Yeah.
Which is but kind it is, of cool.
I suppose.
It's cool. Don't be trashy,
Mom, where can
Florida?
I put the trash? In the dooryard. Mom's got deep voice. In the dooryard, son.
She's just been smoking for a few years.
And inhaling all those scratch-off tickets.
Yeah. Drinking the Allen's coffee brandy. But she's living up to Maine. It's a wicked pizza.
There was no Allen's coffee brandy in Florida either.
Was there really no Allen's coffee brandy in Florida?
No. People down there actually drink Kahlua.
They're very hoity-toity in Florida.
No.
Very hoity-toity.
They probably have some junk coffee liqueur. Maybe there's Allen's down there now. I don't know. Go on, baby. We got sidetracked.
It's not my fault. All right. So anyways, I think we should start with your grandpa's apparent favorite saying, which was what? Do you want to say it?
I don't know that it was favorite, but it was definitely colder than a well digger's ass. Oh, arse. I'm sorry.
Arse.
I'm colder than a well digger's. I'm gonna say it's just no good if you don't say it. Colder than a well digger's ass. Do you want me to say the other version?
No, because I really hate that word. Okay, so a cold. We're gonna talk about this because what does that even mean, right? Like
that one's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, you want to go with it?
Yeah, because you looked it up, and
I did.
I during the course of my childhood, figured it out on my own.
Oh, because you're so smart.
But when you looked it up, you said you couldn't find what's the word? Entomology?
Etymology.
Etymology.
Yeah. E-T-Y. Okay. Yeah.
So before today started, I thought that's what you said at a funeral, the etymology. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Anyways, you couldn't find a clear etymology for colder than Wildinger's ass.
No.
But it's pretty apparent that the deeper the hole gets, the colder it gets. And depending upon the time, the era, the well digger either had to go down kind of head first so his butt was sticking up, or his butt was kind of against the wall of the well as he was digging. So it inherently got as cold as the air temperature down lower.
Yeah, and that's why you say
it was colder than a well digger's ass, which in Florida means it was like 60 degrees.
Holly spoke in on chat, and Holly's really from Maine, and therefore gives all the props. And Holly said that dooryard really means like your driveway.
Well, yeah, because people that say Oh, never. I don't want to offend anybody, but it's been my experience that people that use the term dooryard just park up on their grass. Like right in front of the door. I'm home.
Oh, Florida. Okay.
What?
I think you're showing your inherent Florida bias.
Well, they do that in Florida too, sometimes.
Oh, man. So there are some other great Southern idioms. Some of them had to do with weather that I had never heard. Like, it's hog killing weather. And then it's cold as a wedge, which I totally don't know what a wedge is.
Did you look? You didn't look it up?
I looked it up. I could not find it.
You couldn't find it's cold as a wedge?
No, I don't know what the wedge is.
I've never heard of it. Yeah. So I don't know. I only know the hog killing weather one.
And if the creek don't rise.
Did you look that one up?
Yeah, it means like, hey, you know, this will happen if the creek doesn't rise. Like if something horrible
would
happen instead. Yeah.
Is it bad? Oh,
okay. Yeah. It's like, hey, I'll come hang out with you at 7 on your podcast if the creek don't rise. And then you're like, oh, crud.
Oh, like, grows, yeah. And then,
yeah.
I got you.
Like if nothing
So that's happens. Like an outside chance that I'm not going to be able to do what I want.
Yeah, it's like me saying, like, yeah, if I don't die first, like, it's the same thing, only less morbid. All right, so John Bell has posted something in chat that Sean is now laughing about, and hopefully I can say it without the bad word. It's what? Can you do it without the bad word, babe? It's hotter.
In Florida, it's hotter than a fresh effed fox in a forest fire.
Is that a real one, or did John make that up? Because it's good.
I don't know, but it's great if he made it up. I like it.
It's very literary.
It's got a lot of F's, doesn't it?
It's got a lot of F's in there.
It's the beginning of a children's book.
That would be the best children's book ever.
You can do one for every state.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That would be amazing. Make an adult children's book like that. Oh, I have so many ideas I can't say right now. Thank you, John Bell. All right. So Lori Flood, who is also from Maine, she had one on our Facebook message, original post, I think. And it was, if you don't use the phrase, all stove up, are you even from Maine? And I think Holly could probably tell us about that. But have you ever said that anywhere other than Maine, buddy?
I don't know that I've ever said it, period, but I never heard it before, Maine, that's for sure.
We're kicking you out of the state right now, man.
I'm not a Mainer. I don't claim to be a Mainer.
No, you know you don't.
throw me out.
You don't do the dooryard. You don't say wicked. You don't have like...
I do say wicked every once in a while.
You don't call other men dear in the grocery
store. No.
So you're losing any potential Maine cred you could.
Are you gonna tell us what all stove up means?
I'm too busy thinking about you calling other guys deer in the grocery store. Okay, so
that's hotter than a fresh
F word fox in a forest fire. It's a really cis guy thing to do in Maine, and it kind of goes against stereotypes. So I think it's interesting. Okay, ready? So. Stoved up comes from, or it means basically, suffering physical discomfort, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, right?
Yeah.
Like, it originally meant battered or worn out, right? I always think of my Uncle Kilton. Oh, Sean's drinking. I guess this is...
He's still battered and worn out. You never noticed I'm mentally stove up.
You are mentally, you're battered and worn out. My Uncle Kilton always said stove up, and I thought it meant like that you had a limp for a very long time. Like, that's what I thought it meant. But like, it goes deeper than the Merriam-Webster dictionary thing, and it's basically, according to blog.oup.com's July 2018 thing, post, right?
Yeah.
According to that, direct quote, all quotes are in the podcast notes and resources, so we're not plagiarizing. Stove up is an American coinage. The verb stave means to break up a cask into staves, from the noun stave, which is a stick or a lath of wood. Its principal parts are staved and staved. stayed and stayed. But it shared the fate of other weak verbs like dive, whose past tense dove has almost superseded dived in the U.S. And so everybody's blown off stave, basically. And only up here and a little other places do we say stave. And stave in means to break a hole. And stove up means the kind of what we just talked about. And Ginger Jar, too, says that stave was a verb that meant to act recklessly or heedlessly. Like, oh crap, I stove a nail into my foot. Ow, that's a wicked pissa. Like that would be.
What? That was funny.
Okay.
This is the last time you get to do the research, so you go into too much detail.
What? It's interesting.
Because the stave something means to like beat it up, drive a hole into it. So. Yeah. So stove being the past tense of stave just means I'm beat up, right?
Yeah, kind of. I'm worn out.
Yeah. And now
I want to tell you. Being married to Sean's gotten me all stove up.
But you don't have to be married to me. I'll still stove you up, baby. Anyways.
No.
Let's say hello to all these people that just joined. And I all do right. want to say, wait, before you do that. Caitlin Hodgkins has the perfect Maynard. Example of a dooryard.
Oh, and she says that they use the words dooryard and all stoved up on the daily. Wait, where is
I'm
she?
I'm sure they do. You just had her up there.
Oh, okay. What was her perfect example?
The dooryard. She's got the perks. They have like no pavement, no rocks. It's
at their place.
A little grass. The only difference between any part of her front yard is it's got grass or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because the driveway's dirt, you know, gravel, yeah. Whatever. And
you should give them a call out for their place of business, which is
awesome. A shout out.
It's free.
Sea Ray's Lobster.
Yeah, it's amazing. You could see a dooryard if you go to Sea Ray's.
Or if you happen to live in Barber, they can bring you some awesome dirt.
Yeah, they're amazing. They do everything. They do everything. They're amazing. I'm sorry.
Now let's move on to Kat Crouch because Kat.
Oh no, Kat said the word I hate.
Yeah.
No, Kat.
Carrie would not let me say this, but in my world, the phrase was different. It was colder. It was colder than a witch's boobie.
Just say it.
It was colder than a witch's tit.
Oh, you did it.
You told me to.
And no, I didn't mean it though.
I'm not quite. Oh, I know why it's colder than a witch's titty. Because a witch.
That's even worse. Oh my God.
A witch is like cold hearted, just, you know, the stereotypical wart on your nose witch.
Yeah, the patriarchy pushing us down, man. That stereotype of a powerful woman.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah.
Who wrote Hansel and Gretel? He was a mother.
Anyway, Kat said, I never understood the hotter than a witch's TIT phrase. Like, how do we know that a witch's boob is hot? I got to tell you, Kat, that witch is probably on fire.
It depends on the witch or whether or not her boob is hot.
She's probably really, really hot, and that's why all those men made her look really, really ugly in all the fairy tales. So, you know, she's got some nice breastises.
But if it's like an old witch and her boobs sitting on a broom while she's riding around, that's not hot.
I think it's hot. She's riding a broom. Think about it. A broom.
That's cool. Woohoo! Yeah. Is it a...
Yeah. Okay. It's a symbol, buddy. It's a symbol.
It's a Vibramax 2000 broom.
All right. So apparently all the ladies here, Allison is now saying, Kat Crouch, we also said colder than a witch's tit in a, oh, I said the word myself, in a brass bra.
Thanks, folks. I've been trying to get her to say that for years.
So, yeah, it's a hard word. It's a hard word for me. I also used the phrase girl place, which is no longer like really acceptable for private.
She loves the term fun bags, though.
Fun bags? I tend to use just medical terms is what I do.
What?
I use medical terms. You know?
Yeah, or childish terms.
Or childish term. I was like, yeah, but you can't really say that anymore. So anyways, so I don't say that anymore. And I just say the word that starts with a V. Pause for drama. All right. So, but that's an example. Like, is an example of how Familex happen. Like, you create words and dialogues. They have new meaning, creates community. Sean knows what I'm talking about. Nobody else does. Like,
it's who does? Way.
Nobody else other than
no, me. You said, oh, what are you talking about? I'm just kidding, baby. I'm just kidding. I know what you're talking about. Don't be mad.
I'm not. This is my, oh my God, this is why we should never be live face.
Don't be mad. Hey, let's move on.
It's horrified. It's horrified.
John, let's move on to John Bell's.
All right.
Is there the next ones on the list?
All right. So John Bell had two, and they also came from our Facebook, and it was, I'm going to learn ya, and also pen pecked. AKA PW. And I have to tell you that when I saw that comment, I was like, does PW stand for some sort of Florida slang? I don't know what PW means. And then Sean whispered to me what PW was.
I don't know if it's Florida. I don't know if it's Southern.
I thought it was like regional. A place in Florida. And he was referring to some place where you guys grew up. No. And I was like, oh, what? Port Walton? Port Williams, like that was packed so hard to figure out.
It was referring to our friends, probably me included, that couldn't make the time to hang out with their male friends and had to be with their girlfriend all the time. So, anyways, let's move on.
All right, so let's start with the first one, which is I'm gonna learn ya. Have you ever said I'm gonna learn ya?
I've said it before, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Why?
And I just thought maybe you would talk about it, honestly.
Do you want me to learn you what it means?
Your tongue's out of your mouth again, yes.
Mm. Do you want me to learn you what it means?
Yes, please learn me what it means, okay. And I will learn you to keep your tongue in your mouth, or I will henpeck the heck out of you. How's that?
What it means is literally, I'm going to teach you. Because it comes from the ancient, or not ancient, the old Greek word of learn, I think it was how you would say it. It's spelled L-A-E with the A and the E touch each other. It's weird. R-E-N, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when that means learn. So I'm going to learn you means I am going to teach you something fool. And if you don't learn it quickly, I just thought of another euphemism we use down south. John can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was something like, I'm going to goat slap you or something like that. Anyways, basically. Oh, hit you upside the head. I used to say that all the time.
Really?
Hit you upside the head.
Oh.
Yep.
That's very
You're not
violent.
Interested.
It's all right, just I'm very
gonna
do- violent.
I'm going to do henpecked too.
All right. Let's talk about henpecked, baby.
Henpecked is based upon.
And remember, you want to stay married.
A literal chicken picking food off the ground where it's like. Pook, 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 pook. So the euphemism is for a woman who's constantly nagging her man. Pook, 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 do this, pook, pook, do that, pook, pook, do that. Which is not you, baby. Carrie's really kind. She'll write me a note like once a month, like a list, a honey-do list. But she'll literally like forget about it. Yeah, it's probably like three times a year, maybe.
Yeah.
But as soon as I get it all crossed off, there's a new one coming. But she's really good about not nagging. She is not a nagger.
No, you nag more than I nag.
Most time. Oh, that's just because I got a quality assurance.
Have you noticed no one's talking in the chat anymore? They're like, wow, look at the train wreck of their marriage.
We have way more fun than most people I know.
No, we don't. All right, so
If you keep wanting people to think you're so miserable.
It's so sad. You're so sad. I can barely see a thought. He henpecks me all day.
What?
All right. Nancy Corliss wanted to know about this one. It's caught between a rock and a hard place. And that had a nice, clear origin that I researched. Too much, yeah.
Nice job, baby.
Sometimes
your overindulgence pays off.
Yeah, but I can't find my research anymore. But
do you want me to say it? Because yeah. It's right here.
Oh, cool.
The phrase originated in USA in the early 1900s.
It did?
Several other phrases having the same meaning also exist in many.
Oh. I found it.
Look at these comments. Caitlin's trying to egg us on.
Caitlin was like, what's your next phrase? Tell us about the doghouse. Caitlin's too smart.
I was going to bring you some vanilla pudding for a belated birthday present.
No, it's not vanilla, baby.
I mean, banana. Banana. It is vanilla.
Sean was going to make Caitlin banana pudding. For a birthday present, but he hasn't done it yet. Secrets out, Caitlin. Banana pudding coming your way.
This is kind of interesting. This phrase, caught between a rock and a hard place, was used, this is excessive research paying off, was used during an economic crisis when mining workers faced low wages working at the rock face on one hand and unemployment and poverty on the other if they refused to work. Mm-hmm. Rock in a hard place. Not making money is a hard place.
Yeah. Trying to do a podcast.
It's so literal.
With Sean.
Yeah. What?
Nothing. So.
Beer.
That mine actually was in Bisbee, Arizona, which I think is a cool fact. The end.
Oh, well, I didn't read that part. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then it got, like, it was a long time ago. It was the early 1900s, and then it got, like, super popular during the Great Depression because everybody was between a rock and a hard place, you know?
Yeah, pretty much everybody was, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Except they didn't have the option to face the rock. Wow.
I forgot that we were going to, oh, yeah.
It was just a hard place. What'd you forget?
I forgot we were going to talk about some northern sayings because we talked about our New England sayings because we talked about some southern sayings. And those New England sayings are like, what? Do you remember what they are?
I've been throwing paper around here like crazy.
Dude, you're throwing all the paper around. All right. Well, we know wicked pissa, right? Like, that's a big one. Bang a yui. Like, if you're not from here, you might not know what bang a yui means.
I don't know that that's northern. I remember saying that down in Florida.
Really? It feels very Rhode Island for me. Like,
really?
Hey, yeah, we got to go down to Harvard and bang a yui around like Congress Street. Like, it's like a thing. What?
No, we definitely use it down south too.
All right, well, cool.
But that's all right.
We've corrupted y'all.
Do not use wicked, although it might have migrated. I don't know.
It's like wicked weird, wicked awesome, wicked everything, honestly.
I like the last one that you have there.
Before we get to the last one, is also one. Like, it kind of probably came from I or something, or I, but a lot of people in Maine say a yup.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. A yup. A yup, they do. There you go.
D is wicked.
Yay, wicked cool. Speaking of witches, there are some theories that the word wicked. What?
Nothing.
So there's a lot of theories that the word wicked actually came from the Puritan times and the witch trials, where they were like trying to talk about how bad they were without swearing, so they would get hung as a witch too. And so allegedly that's when they started using wicked all the time, and then it came back again like 40 years ago, maybe because of the amazing book and play by Gregory McGuire, Wicked.
Like, she's got a wicked cold titty, that witch.
Oh, jeez, crow. Jeez, crow.
What?
You're just going to say that word forever now because other people
have you said it. You said it.
I hate the word. I hate the word. It's like moist. It's not a good word. Don't put those words together either, Ferrar. Don't put them together.
So you don't use moist and titty at the same time.
You just did it.
Yeah, but you not in a like a way. I just you, said them randomly. Randomly together. Like she's wicked moist. I that cake is wicked
that
moist.
That cake.
Hey.
All right, let's we gotta end this podcast right now.
We still got half an hour to go, baby.
No, it can be a short one.
Put on your big girl britches and
I don't know. Because I don't like that other word either. Right. So
hold your horses. That's a good one. How about
Pat asked about hold your horses.
So how about you
that's
move
what
on?
Sean's referring to.
Go to the next one. I'm gonna look that up.
All right. I feel like it's all on me. So the New England phrase that Sean really liked was just because a cat has her kittens in the oven doesn't make them biscuits. And that could refer to Sean.
If you leave him in there long enough.
Like Sean meets someone in the airport and they're like, hey, Sean, where are you from? He'll be like, Maine. No, just because he's in the oven of Maine doesn't make him a biscuit. He is still a kitten from Florida. That's what it means.
I ain't no kitten. do you want to do hold your horses?
Yeah, I'd love to do hold your horses.
It's gross. Actually,
it is.
Yeah, in the 1600s, when somebody broke the law, they would trample them to death with horses. So,
you suck.
They would say, "Hold your horses," meaning literally, hold the horses and keep them still while I tie this offender to a board so he can't move. He's immobile on the ground, and then we'll let the horses trample all over him.
Is this a Europe thing? Was this European?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get that far into it. But if you
oh, that's nasty. Carden said it's horrendous. Carden, nice word choice.
It is horrendous.
Horrendous. Wow. And my daughter and I were in Providence. They have like an entire museum dedicated to torture. Like, people did really awful things to each other. And that, hold your horses, would you ever imagine that's where it came from?
No, not I.
No, not I either.
It also refers to, there is also some real literal stuff like dating back to ancient Greece, actually.
Oh, like, let's go there, hopefully.
Like,
it's better.
Like a maniac in a chariot race. And somebody would be like, control your horses. Hold your horses. Or during the noise of battle, a Roman soldier would literally hold his horses so they didn't take off.
I like that way better. And it makes more sense to me.
After the invention of gunpowder, the Chinese would have to hold their horses because of the noise.
See, all that makes more sense than trampling people in the street.
Well, yeah. But they're all kind of like literal meanings. So.
Yeah.
I'm going with the trampling.
All right. So, Sean K.
Yes, love.
What would you like to do now? Would you like to talk about Anne Kudrowski's Clean as a Whistle?
I think I would.
All right. You go there, and I'll look up other things if Sean can come back to the podcast.
Oh, my God. They're throwing them at us like wildfire.
I know. We can't keep up anymore.
What?
All right. Clean as a Whistle.
Dude, this is 2 pages long.
It's page 6 of my notes. I took very, very copious notes for this podcast.
She did.
I did. I got all
one possibility. One possibility of the origin of the phrase clean as a whistle is that the old simile describes the whistling sound of a sword as it swishes through the air to decapitate someone. And an early 19th century quotation does suggest this connection. A first-rate shot, his head taken off clean as a whistle.
That's terrible.
More likely, the basic idea suggests the clear, pure sound a whistle makes. or the slippery, smooth surface of a willow stick debarked to make a whistle.
Really?
Uh-huh. I'm going with that one.
I like that one, actually, comparatively.
The slippery, smooth surface, clean as a whistle.
Yay. All right, ready for Hit the Ground Running?
You got it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it, baby.
I used to be a reporter.
I love the sound of your voice. I could listen to you talk all night long.
Is that why you just put your headphone on your forehead?
No, it's because my ear was itching.
Did you itch it in front of everybody, honey?
I had to. I did so.
You have like to control your urges, boo. Like, you have to control.
There was a worm in there or something.
Okay, so Hit the Ground Running. A lot of people think that that originated in World War II, but apparently that is a big lie.
That would make sense, though.
But it didn't. It actually, according to phrases.org.uk, it came out at like the end of the 19th century in this country where we are in the United States. And it was in this story that was syndicated in a whole bunch of newspapers in 1895. And that story was The King of All the Liars. And the actual excerpt here is, I turned to run and figured to a dot where when he shot. As he cracked loose, I jumped way up in the air and did a split, just like those show gals does. Only mine wasn't on the ground by 6 foot. The bullet went under me. I knew he had 5 more cartridges, so I hit the ground running and squatted low down when his gun barked a second time. So there you go.
Makes sense.
Hit the ground running.
Nothing.
All right, we have another one.
Like I said,
one.
I can listen to you talk all night, baby.
You're such a liar. Did I bore you? Is that what you're saying? I bored you, didn't I?
See, this is our real problem. She never believes anything I say to be
because
the truth.
It never sounds sincere. Never, ever sounds sincere. See, he's laughing so hard because he knows it's true.
No, it's okay, maybe it's true, but it is sincere. Jesus, are you going to do By the Skin of My Teeth?
I just did the other one, but okay. Nope. I'll do that if you look up Doghouse. Nope, I'm doing it. You look up Doghouse.
So, look up Doghouse.
The Skin of My Teeth.
We all know
actually,
what a Doghouse.
The Skin of My Teeth is actually biblical. It's a phrase from Job 19:20 in the King James Version. Sorry if that's not your version, if you're Christians. And it's from, and the direct quote from that version is, my bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Wow. Silence.
So it's like really, literally somebody just made it up and it has no meaning. No affiliated meaning.
Well,
although
that's where
there is no skin on your teeth. So that's how I always interpreted it. It's such a narrow void. It's by the skin of my teeth. Like, man, yeah. When I hit the ground running, that bullet missed my ass by the skin of my teeth.
Unless it means you're enamel and they just didn't have the word for enamel.
Oh, maybe, but I don't know. Anyways.
We are now woo.
I'm going to make a little jump and assume that Kaylin was talking about being in the dog
house. In the dog house. Oh, thanks, Holly.
Would you like to know where this is from?
I'm afraid, honestly.
Would you like to take a guess?
Probably something
it's
horrible and
very,
torturous.
First thing is, I hope Holly wasn't being sarcastic. But
Holly's like, this is a super fun episode, y'all. And we're like, does she mean it?
It's from chapter 16 of a very, very famous book that was written in 1911. Would you like to guess? Don't look it up. I don't
know. I didn't hear what you said. I wasn't paying attention.
The phrase in the phrase in the doghouse is
in the dog Lassie.
No, Peter Pan.
Darn.
J.M. Perry used a plot device in which the father of the family, Mr. Darling,
I remember that.
Consigned himself to
Nana's doghouse, right? Sorry.
Nana the dog?
Yeah.
Okay.
The great big dog.
Yes. Mr. Darling consigned Mr. Darling consigned himself to the dog's kennel as an act of remorse for inadvertently causing his children to be kidnapped.
Oh, that's, you know, so, I don't know if that's enough punishment, honestly.
Well, not for that. No.
No.
But I mean, if you accidentally say the wrong thing, and
you're in the doghouse. A
common question, and you got to go outside and do yard work for an hour.
You know. The only way I'm going to ever learn you, Sean, is to get you a doghouse, I guess, huh?
We got one. I can put a bed in our doghouse out there. It'd be fine. That big shed. No, we have a nice shed.
Oh, man. Pretty as a peach is a good one, too. I'm just assuming that's because peaches are pretty.
Man, we're way behind.
I know, pretty man. We're never going to... And we have Smart as a Tack and Pretty as a Peach and Jump on the Bandwagon and Bought the Farm, and we're never going to get them all.
I know. We don't even have to hit our list anymore. I can tell you my interpretation of Pretty as a Peach, but it's kind of sectional.
No, I don't think you should.
All right.
Yes.
Do you want me to look up the real one?
Yes, and I'll talk about cardens because maybe some other people can help us with this.
I haven't even seen cardens. Oh, yeah, okay.
On Facebook, Cardin was like, "Oh," and then was like, why? O-P-E. Does anybody have any, like, oop thoughts, anyone? Because what I looked up was not super, super helpful. It's on page 8 of my research. Anyways, Cardin, we wonder why, too. But when we looked it up, oop. Was referenced by the morning radio show host Mike McKelly at WRKR Rock Station in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And he wrote a whole blog post about it. We'll have the link. And he said, you bump into someone and you go, oh, you fumble something. You're trying to give someone and you go, oh, you simply get in somebody's way and you go, oh, I never realized I was ever even saying it until someone said I was, he wrote. And now I'm wondering how long I've been saying it. Apparently, other parts of the country don't use this little blutterance. Are we too lazy to just say oops? Yeah. So it's like, oh, but oh. And do you just like, maybe it's just supposed to be nope, but with no N? And it's like a, oh, like a oops, but with... out the pss, you know, like,
yeah.
And the first time a writer for I think the Huffington Post ever heard it was the guy who's the band leader for Stephen Colbert and an amazing musician, John Baptiste, and he had said it and he was like, what is this word? But that guy is from New Orleans, he's not even from the Midwest, and he's using that word, so
really?
Who knows? Yeah.
That's yeah, crazy.
I know.
So pretty.
Yeah, did pretty, you look up pretty as a peach or pretty as a picture?
Pretty as a peach is a little bit fuzzy, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not. But I think the most commonly accepted thing would be that it's sort of like bless your heart. Like it's pretty as a peach because a peach is kind of. Just gentle looking, and it's got the little bit of fuzz on it.
Yeah,
it's like if you saw a newborn baby, but like he's pretty or she's pretty as a peach. It's just sounds good. It's a little bit of alliteration with the two P's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's meant to be a kind thing, but the origins that's almost a guess as even to the meaning, really. So
yeah.
But that's what it means. Anyways, I mean, that's what people say it, pretty as a peach.
Yeah.
You don't call an ugly dog pretty as a peach.
I would, because there are no ugly dogs.
Of course you would.
Just like there are no ugly manatees or unicorns.
No, there's not. No. I agree with that one.
I looked up Jump on the Bandwagon, which Kat asked about, and it is so super weird. You ready? It's not what I expected. I was... my brain was not imaginative enough. So Jump on the Bandwagon, according to gingersoftware.com, was first seen in 1848, and there was this clown named Dan Rice. And Dan used the circus bandwagon to get all the politicians around the town, right? So they put the politicians in the wagon, they'd play a bunch of music, and they'd be like, hey, jump on the bandwagon, we'll go give a speech, everybody will come.
Really?
Yeah. 1848, Dan Rice. That's Dan Rice's big contribution to society. He created not only bandwagons for politicians to jump on and give stump speeches, but also the phrase jump on the bandwagon.
So everybody's just following, or nowadays it really means just everybody following along, right? Like yeah. Sheep.
Yeah, and that's what people would do. They would follow the bandwagon through
attempting
town.
Attempting to get him to follow, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but he did, because there was nothing else to do, I guess. They're like, oh, let's go listen to what this guy has to say. Like, I don't know. Or maybe they're like, oh, we shall be inspired. I don't know, but yeah.
I want to do it. Can we do another one of cats?
Yeah, but Cardin said, why does that just sound like a political trap? I don't know, Cardin. It kind of does. It kind of does.
Which
it might
one?
Be why people are afraid of clowns now, too. What? Yeah, the bandwagon.
Yeah, I can be afraid of clowns and politicians at the same time.
No, we could go so many places, but that would not be very charitable. So we're not.
No. So Kat threw one out that we kind of skimmed over. It's Bought the Farm.
Bought the Farm. Yeah. Did you look that up, babe?
No.
Oh.
I haven't had time. Would you like me to? I will.
I just talked all this time.
I don't. Oh, but you're a good talker.
Oh, baby, I'm not.
There you are.
No. Here, look at me have an awkward pause just to prove that I am not a good talker. Well,
I can still talk for it.
No, that's not fair. Dee says she doesn't like clowns at all, by the way. That's common, Dee.
There are so many people that don't like clowns. Emily doesn't like clowns.
No, my daughter doesn't like clowns.
Didn't I? When she was a young teenager? Like put
do something horribly cruel that scarred her for life. Yeah, probably.
Like make a clown mannequin in her bed or something. So when she walks in,
yeah. Oh no, was it Mr. Spock? And you put a mask on him or something?
Yeah, something like I don't know. I don't remember, but I know she hated clowns, so I wanted to look like there was a clown laying in her bed when she walked in.
I repressed that you did that.
Yeah, she probably did too.
Probably. Kat said Bozo scarred her for life as a child.
Well, Bozo was kind of a different kind of clown.
Bozo was creepy.
Yes, that's what I mean. So Bought the Farm. Bought the Farm. Comes from a 1950s era Air Force term meaning to crash or to be killed in action. So Bought the Farm definitely means to die. But it refers to the desire of many wartime pilots and probably regular soldiers to stop flying / being in a war, return home, buy a farm, and live peaceably ever after.
Oh.
So when you've bought the farm, you've gone to the peaceful place, hopefully.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the phrase the peaceful place.
I just made that up.
Oh, I like it, baby. Maybe you can be the next Dan Rice, and you can be known forever as saying the peaceful place.
I doubt it.
I think we could do that for you.
I've made up much better words than that.
We could give you your own Wikipedia page. And
well, you have one, but I don't.
Yeah. I know.
Dang it.
I don't know how I ended up having one, but I'm very glad I do. So, because it can go in my obituary. Carrie Jones died, blah, 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 blah. One of
how
the things
if,
is.
How about if I just.
She had her own Wikipedia page. See it.
For
I don't know. It was cheaper than the obit.
And your entire obit will be C, and then it'll be the link to your Wikipedia page.
You're so lazy. So much love right there, man. So much love.
Didn't I tell you to go ahead to write it before you die?
Yeah, he told me to write my own a bit.
You're a way better writer than I am. If you write it, I'll fluff it.
No, Emily will write it.
with the
And then
truth.
you'll be like, you forgot everything your mother did. And she'll be like,
Yes,
well, and
exactly.
then you'll
I was
have
gonna
to
say she
fix
doesn't know
it.
anything.
And so bad. She'll be like, oh, you did
Anyways,
that? Yeah. All right. Anyways,
you're
we cannot talk about my Obit anymore if you don't want to. It's all
there's
right. We
a
can
I
move
don't
on. All
care. It
right.
doesn't matter
Pretty
to
as a
me.
picture.
I
Pretty
won't
as
be
a
writing it for
picture.
a while.
Hopefully. All right. So
Oh.
pretty as a. Can I get
What?
pretty as a picture?
I don't know. You talk the whole time. I try to read my explanations. Oh, I can't talk until you start talking. Blah, 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 blah. Go ahead, baby. I'll be quiet. I
I
promise.
don't.
Look at my face. It's sincere.
I'm. That
I
is so not
promise.
sincere. You have like little boy mischief eyes for you who cannot see because you're listening. I am so sorry, but he has little boy mischief eyes. So Nancy Corliss asked about pretty as a picture, right?
Yeah.
And that means singularly attractive. And that's because one picture, I guess when it started, like you couldn't like mass reproduce them as easily as you can now, right? And so it was during Victorian times, and they're like, oh, there's just one painting, and like, oh, there you go. And then Mark Twain was like, ah, he was pretty enough to frame in a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court. And so that idiom kind of came from both of those places. So it's like, oh, you're still, it's like an old-fashioned of way of saying you're very pretty and attractive in a possibly unique way. Like, wow, you stand out. It's singular.
And you got a
Woo.
signature in your lower left-hand corner or right hand, whatever.
Because the
Like a
painting is
picture.
signed? Okay.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, all right,
Like a little
okay.
tattoo right there on your tummy. Anyways.
Oh my God. Keep your tongue in your mouth, honey. All right,
Can
so.
I do, can I do, can I don't know this for sure, but I think I know riding shotgun.
Okay, try it, man. So
It's from
someone
the
asked, oh, Kat asked about riding shotgun.
Yes,
All right.
it's from the stagecoach era when it would be the driver on the left-hand side and the riding the shotgunner on the right-hand side, and he was the security. It was like a modern-day Humvee machine gunner in war. So like if somebody tried to rob him, he'd be like, "Fuck! Oh, F you!" While the driver kept on driving, right?
Yes.
Yeah, look it up. See if I'm right.
Captain Potty Mouth, I'm not gonna look it up
Oh, okay. Why
right
not?
now because
Oh,
I'm
all right.
busy. Caitlin's great Grammy would say, "Pretty is what pretty does." My mom would say that all the time too.
Who was pretty?
Like, pretty is, it's what pretty does. Like, it's like what you're.
Who's pretty?
I don't understand what that means. Why are you saying who's pretty over and over again? It's over my head. I don't get it. I don't get it, honey. Do you even get it, honey?
It's like a name. Carrie is what Carrie does, but pretty
Oh,
is
like
what
the
pretty
name
does.
pretty. You know, pretty used to be a name, like precious and honesty and prudence and temperance and.
My precious.
Okay, we're gonna have to
What?
end this podcast really, really soon, honey.
My
You're creeping me out. You're creeping. Sit up right. Sit up right, baby. You're creeping me out. I live with you. I don't want to be creeped out. Okay,
my
so.
pretty precious.
Oh my word, honey.
What?
Stop. All right, so Art asked about Book It, and I still haven't found it, Art
Really?
Cowie.
Like to
Yeah,
run fast?
like. Book meaning, yeah, to go fast or to run away. And I am failing. So we're going to have a follow-up of this podcast when Sean's not quite so creepy. And we'll try to find that in some of the other ones. And
Creepy.
babe, you just said my pretty precious in that voice, whispery. And you were like, oh, like Gollum-like, hunkered in front of that. I don't even know what you're doing. I think you're at like a rave.
No.
Oh.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Is that Silence of the Lambs? Is
Yes.
that, did you honestly
Good
just go
job.
ultimate creepy?
That's not
Ultimate
ultimate
creepy.
creepy. That's not ultimate creepy. The girl escapes in the end. That one girl. But
I I don't even know if I should waste my time battling you on this, but you got my psychic five anyway. Boy. Sean, wait. You know what Caitlin's Grammy said? Her great Grammy. She said, pretty as it's pretty does. And pretty isn't creepy. No, but pretty isn't creepy, honey.
It could be.
No.
You think all serial killers are ugly? Look at Ted Bundy. He was considered to be an extremely attractive man.
I think that's BS. I don't think he's a very attractive man. Well, I think that's all like show afterwards. Like,
personal opinion. Anyways, did you figure out what it means?
What?
Pretty is what pretty does.
That's self-explanatory. By acting pretty, your outer surface is pretty. Like if you are, if you act ugly, then you're ugly on the outside, no matter how much like a Kardashian you look. Like that's deep.
I'm glad Caitlin's great Grammy was because that's deep.
Deep. poo. All right. So before we go, Lucy Ivy Cooper, so Coop asked about Oh My Stars, and that's a really cool one. So Sean, no, but I'm gonna look it up while you say important end of the podcast things.
I don't have that information available to me.
Can you tell? It's so hard.
What? It's so hard being so you. Hard. It's so no, hard living with me. It's so hard being married to me. Huh? What is it?
Nothing.
Your life just sucks.
No.
You'd rather be buying the farm right now.
I'm going to snort laugh. You made me snort laugh. That's so cruel.
Are you looking up all my stuff?
How about you look it up? We're going to delegate in a better way, I guess. So you're like going to look it up. What?
I like that option better.
All right, you're going to look it up, and I'm going to – oh, no. I lost everything. All right, I lost my screen. So I got it back. But anyways,
good Lord,
we're starting to do a cool thing called Be Brave Fridays, which I kind of did before. But we're morphing it. Every Friday, I would talk about being brave. I did that this Friday. And I'd share art because of my family. Art wasn't cool. And everybody laughed at me. So I'm like really uptight about it. Almost as uptight as I am about my voice or my face. And it's all really hard. So I'm uptight. I get anxiety. So every Friday, we would talk about being brave. And I would talk about being brave. And then other people would share either private message me or sometimes on the post about them being brave. And it was so inspiring that I don't like it being about me anymore. Like, I feel like it could be a much bigger, cooler thing if we could all share our stories. So Sean and I are going to start reading other people's Be Brave stories that they send in. And you can be anonymous. And you don't have to, like, run into a house that's on fire to be considered brave. It can be tiny things. It can be huge things. It can just be doing a podcast with Sean. Like, it can be anything that is brave. And hopefully we'll be able to inspire each other. And you can send them in anonymously if that makes you more comfortable. They can be long. They can be a sentence. And we'll take them and put them up every Friday. And hopefully we'll eventually get this big bunch of inspiring stories so that we can all build like a cool community of goodness. You know, like there's a guy who does Bigfoot emails all the time on YouTube. And like, if people can send in their Bigfoot stories, I think that we can all be like, hey, this is a random brave thing I did, and inspire each other and do good for each other. And so that's my point of Be Brave.
Good job.
And you can message us. Or send it via email, carriejonesbooks@gmail.com.
carriejonesbooks@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So do you want to know about Oh My Stars?
Yes, please, because I was pulling.
Not that your message was not important.
No, I was trying to prolong it because I didn't know you were ready.
Oh, I've been ready.
Oh, you know, I'm fast. Baby.
I'm fast.
All right.
See there? I just came in to give you a kiss. You didn't even see it.
No one saw it. You were like lightning, man. Like lightning. Yeah.
So it's actually not Oh My Stars.
What? Are you kidding?
It's Oh My Stars and Garters. As in the things that hold up those sexy stocking things.
No, there's not.
However, there's another meaning for the word garter.
Okay.
And that was the badge worn by members of the Garter.
Which is?
Well, the Garter was the highest award that a king or queen of England could give a knight. And other royal awards were in the shape of a star.
Oh, that's cool.
If you were to get one of those awards, you'd be like, holy crap! Like, oh my God! Right? And that's the equivalent of, oh my stars! That's fantastic.
Oh. What?
I haven't seen you in 100 years. You're going to come visit me? Oh my stars!
Oh my stars! That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that.
I sure as heck didn't realize that.
Oh, my stars. I'm so excited you all spent this time with us. How's that? Is that good?
I would award each and every one of you a garter if I could.
And then he'd come bring you banana pudding because that's the way he is. That's the way he is.
Okay. Does anybody want to know about banana pudding? No, I'm just kidding.
Our special shout-outs this week go to Autumn, Claire, Jen, Pam, Jen, Nancy, Sam, Tony, Shay, and Rachel. All the stuff will be on the blog, carriejonesbooks.blog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And thank you for making this so fun. We were very worried when it was just Dee here. Dee still gets
thank you
merch,
so very right? much.
Yeah.
Don't forget to hug your clowns and put the lotion on the skin.
Oh, honey, I wanted a nice...
Oh, go ahead. You get another chance. I'll give it to
no,
you.
No, I can't. I can't now. You just like... Oh,
you can't beat that, can you?
I can't. I can't. And
can't touch
the
this.
Wicked pisser. It's a wicked pisser. Oh, my Baby. Word.
What?
What can't was in this. Your drink, honey? What was in your drink?
Water. It's pure, unadulterated water. See that? Crystal clear.
In a Bud Straight. Light glass.
Oh, well. It's a tap and barrel glass.
Oh,
that's a bar. Oh, no, I'm losing all around.
I'm never going to get to write children's books again. Thank you all for hanging out.
Yes, thank you so very much. Have a wonderful, lovely weekend.
Yeah, thanks for making our Friday fun.
I'll be spending it in the doghouse.
And don't forget to put your strange on or get your strange on. What's our idiom? Get your strange on, friends?
It's Loving the Strange is the name of our podcast. Yeah. But love the strange. Also, love your way through it.
Oh.
And send us your brave emails.
Oh, I like send us your brave. That's a good one. Look at you.
Send us your brave?
Yeah. Is that naughty? Is it naughty somehow?
It's not.
I'm just going to end now.
It was in my head. It was in my head, but no, it's not.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.